If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33. Jeremiah, chapter 33. And we're going to start there today. We're going to talk about prayer. And next week, we're going to talk about prayer before we move on to our series in the book of Titus. While you find your way to Jeremiah, chapter 33, and we're going to read again verse 3 there that Miss Shelley's already shared with us. Let me just encourage you to sign up for a Connect group. You have that information on the information card that you received this morning, as well as a separate piece on your chair. Call and sign up for one of those groups, or see us at the end of the service, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that at the end of the service. So thanks for being here. I just want to read verse 3. Miss Shelley read verses 1 through 3, but Jeremiah 33:3 says this: "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." This message, or these two messages this week and next week, are called Plain Talk on Prayer, because we're just simply going to be looking at what the Bible says about prayer. Interesting, when you begin to study prayer in the Bible, you find it all over the Bible. You find from Genesis to Revelation, you find people praying, so you find specific prayers. You find some of the people talking about prayer, describing aspects of prayer, and so you have to kind of go different places to get what we would call a theology of prayer. And so that's kind of what we're going to do the next couple of days. Plain talk on prayer. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, I think we have what is probably one of the best descriptions of prayer, or best definitions of prayer, if you will, in a very simple way. It says, "Call to me." That is an invitation to pray. "And I will answer you." That gives us the understanding that God will answer us when we pray. "And show you great and mighty things." The word "mighty things" there describes unsearchable things, inaccessible things, things that aren't accessible to us to do in and of our own strength and of our own power. He describes it further by saying, "which you do not know." Those things that man has a hard time understanding or comprehending. So let me put all that together for us. In Jeremiah 33:3, we have an invitation to pray with the understanding that God will answer by moving in unsearchable and accessible ways that man has a hard time understanding, that man has a hard time being able to get his arms around, because God's ways are not our ways. Now, in Jeremiah 33, and verse 3 is where we find this verse. So I don't want to give it to you without context. This is a time in the life of Judah when they are experiencing judgment from God. And Jeremiah is the prophet. The Bible tells us in the first verse there of chapter 33 that this is the second time God spoke to Jeremiah on behalf of the people of Judah. And so Jeremiah has had the horrible task of pronouncing judgment upon the people because of their sinfulness, because of their rebellion, because they turned their backs on God. And if you know anything about Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet, because for about 40 years he preaches and he prophesies, trying to turn the people from their sins, get them to turn from their sins and turn back to God. But he doesn't have one taker. He doesn't have any converts. He's a weeping prophet. By the time we get to chapter 33, though, just like with every book of judgment, we begin to hear the voice of hope. That though judgment is difficult, judgment is bringing them to the point of breaking, and they're experiencing the consequences of their sin, there's always hope in God. And through the prophet, God is telling him to tell the people to what? call on me. Come back to me. And I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And in some ways, that part where it says which you do not know is referring to some of the things that they had forgotten about God. You see, they had turned their backs on God, begun to live in rebellion, begun to sin against God, and they had lived in that way for so long, they forgot about the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the love of God. And so when he says, do those things which you do not know, it's almost like I'll bring back into your life the things that you once knew, the things that you once had in your life. So that gives us the context. Now, for our purpose today, we're looking at this simple definition of prayer that we discover in Jeremiah 33:3. What is prayer? Prayer is us talking to God and God talking to us. That's prayer. Prayer is personal communication with God. Now, if we had not been desensitized in our culture, that very statement would cause us to fall on our face at this very moment, understanding that you're telling me, the Bible's telling me, that I can communicate with God? I can talk to God? God Almighty? And He will talk to me. You see, we could just stop right here and go home. That's a sermon in and of itself. I mean, those kind of things, we have forgotten how precious they are. We have forgotten how wonderful this idea, this concept, this practice of prayer really is. And so, when I say that God talks to us, I'm not saying that He talks to us audibly. In fact, the Bible's clear that God, in past times, in the days of the prophets, spoke audibly, spoke in a certain way. But in the New Testament, in the church age, He's chosen to speak to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. What is He talking about? He's talking about revelation. God has revealed Himself to us in the person and work of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus, through His precious Word. Now, when we read the Bible, we discover that God intervened in human affairs as a result of prayer. I mean, it's all over the Scriptures. You read in the Bible and you will see that men, women, boys, and girls prayed, and God worked in their lives as a result of their praying, both Old Testament and New Testament. When you read the Bible, we also discover that people prayed in a variety of ways. When they talked to God, they would talk to Him about themselves. That's called petition or supplication. They would talk to God about others. That's intercession. They would talk to God by thanking Him, by praising Him, by adoring Him. And they would talk to God about their sins. They would confess their sins. They'd pray prayers of confession. Now, so far, I've just talked about some very simple truths about prayer, right? I've just made the statement that prayer is us talking to God, and it's God talking to us, and it's God hearing those prayers and intervening in the lives and the affairs of mankind, and that we can talk to Him in a number of different ways. We can thank Him, we can praise Him, we can ask of Him. And so those are very simple truths when it comes to prayer. But here's the interesting thing about simple truth. It is of no effect in our lives unless we believe it and obey it. no matter how simple it really is. We can know that prayer is talking to God. And we can know that prayer is listening to God. And we can know that God answers prayers and that we can talk to Him in a number of different ways. But if our knowledge about prayer is not something that we believe and practice, it is of very little use to us. So we're talking this morning about prayer in a simple way, but we're also encouraging ourselves to practice it, to make sure that it is a practice of ours as those who profess to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, I want to say this. I don't think that there is a greater spiritual activity on the planet that we can participate in than prayer. I don't think there's any greater spiritual activity for us to practice than prayer. When you begin to understand the nature and the work of prayer and the fact that we are communing with God and talking to God and God is working in our lives, there's nothing greater beyond the point of us experiencing Him for salvation, right? Beyond that point of coming to know Him as Lord and Savior and then beginning our journey with Him in prayer. The reality is that the practice of prayer can be a very real struggle, especially when we do not understand the purpose of prayer. If we approach prayer with the wrong mindset, we quickly give up and we quickly lose heart, which is exactly what the Bible says not to do in reference to prayer. So in Luke chapter 18, there's a parable. I'm not going to share the parable with you or read the parable to you, but let me tell you how it starts. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." And then Jesus goes on with this parable, with this story, to explain how not to lose heart and why not to lose heart. And so that brings us to the point of asking. So we know what prayer is. We know how we can pray in different ways. Why pray? And so that sounds like a really easy question for us to answer today. Why should we pray? Well, it's not to inform God about our needs, because the Bible tells us He knows everything that we need. It is not to get what we selfishly desire. In fact, when we're praying that way, then we're hoping the Holy Spirit is leading us back around this way to what God desires, right? It's not to direct Him to order our lives in a certain way. You say, well, we pray because the Bible tells us to. Okay, if that keeps you motivated. Right? It might, to a degree. Why do we pray? Why does the Bible tell us to pray? Well, first of all, I want you to notice, and Jeremiah was our main text for defining prayer, so I'm going to give you some scriptures. They'll be on the screen, so don't try to find them in your Bible as we go through them. But the first thing I want you to know is that praying demonstrates our faith in God. Praying demonstrates our faith in God. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 9, the Bible says, "So I say to you, ask." I want you to pay close attention to all the verses we use today and how they reference prayer. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." So I would like to stop there and ask why. Why? The Bible says, ask and seek and knock. Why do we keep asking and seeking and knocking? Well, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Well, how do I know this? How do I know that if I ask and I seek and I knock, that he will answer, that the doors will be open, and that we will find what it is we are looking for? Well, it says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? The answer to the question is, why? Why is the answer to the question no? The answer to the question no is because he is a father. Because, and when we're speaking of God, he is our father. You see, because he's our father, our heavenly father, and he loves us, he listens to our prayers, and we can trust in him. See, the image of a father is given to us all throughout the scriptures. And it's there to continue to bid us to believe in him, to trust in him as a father, because the Bible says that he's not going to give a child a scorpion when he asks for an egg. You see, our asking and our seeking and our knocking demonstrate our belief in his love for us. We don't think that if we ask him for bread, he's going to give us a stone. We think that when we ask him for bread, he's going to give us bread. Why? Because he is the heavenly Father. It demonstrates our complete dependency on him. So you can see how praying demonstrates our faith in God. I was reading one book on prayer a few weeks ago, and I took a little sentence out of it and I put it on the front of the devotions that you have on prayer. And it just simply says, try asking God. Now, whatever it is on your mind right now, try asking God. You see, this little statement should give us pause, because that's not normally the first thing we do. That's not normally the first thing we do. It's not natural for us to do that. It's certainly something that would be a spiritual discipline for us. I remember some years ago, I may have told this story before, but I'm going to use it in a little bit different way. I was pastoring a church while in seminary, and I was having some difficulty with a particular person in the church. They were causing some problems in the church. Well, that was my second church to pastor, and I didn't know exactly how to handle it. So I went to one of my seminary professors, you may remember this part, and I asked him, I said, look, this is what's going on in the church. I need to know how to handle this. What do I do? Can I just kick them out? No, you can't do that. So he said, he didn't even have a conversation with me. He said, tell Jesus on them. Well, I did, and Jesus took care of it, by the way. But it was a reminder to me. That's what I should have done first, right? I mean, I was seeking godly counsel. There's nothing wrong with that. But the reality is, you should try asking God in a way that demonstrates you believe in him. Our prayer demonstrates our faith in God, and we should try asking him first. You know, Matthew 6 is where we have what's called the Lord's Prayer. It takes us back to that idea of Father. First part of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 8 and 9. Therefore, do not be like them, the hypocrites he's talking about, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father. Just stop and think for a moment about how precious that is, that you can trust in, believe in your Father. And our praying to him, our talking to him, our waiting on him demonstrates our faith in him. Faith in God is important. Not faith in people. Not faith in circumstances. Not faith in other things. And not even faith in prayer. Look, our faith is not in our faith. It's not that we believe enough. Our faith is in the God of prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Something I've noticed over the years is this, that the stronger our belief in God, the more we pray. The weaker our belief in God, the less we pray. I mean, when we think about prayer being that which demonstrates our faith in God, we have to ask the question, I mean, why would we, in public or in private, talk to someone that nobody can see? In a lot of places, that's called crazy. Here's why. Because we believe. Prayer is an act of faith, and it demonstrates your belief in God. Secondly, praying deepens our fellowship with God. Prayer deepens our fellowship with God. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it simply says this. Well, there's more to it, but I just took one part of it out. I'll read the whole thing. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Part of drawing near means cleansing your hands, you sinners, and purifying your hearts, you double-minded. He explains it a little bit, right? But just take that first part for a moment. Draw near to God, and He will draw near. Listen, these are some fascinating things we're talking about this morning. Things that we have begun to take for granted. Do you want to be near God? You say, well, preacher, we're here this morning. What do you think? Do you want to be near God? Let me just say, that is not something that we should assume about everybody. Because that desire to be with God and near God is something that He works in us. It's not a natural desire. And by the way, the nearer you get to God, the more you're going to want to purify yourself. The more you're going to want to confess. You're going to see yourself for who you really are, and you're going to start crying out to God for mercy and forgiveness. And conviction is going to set in. So, do you want to be near God? Here's a couple of questions. How is it that we think we can experience, because I think we think this at times, how is it that we think we can experience the divine presence without drawing near to Him in prayer? How is it that we think we can have all that God has for us without drawing near to Him in prayer? How is it that we think we can be close to God and learn from Him without, it's real simple, without talking to Him? How do we think that works? Do you want to be near God? Do you want to experience His tender care and mercy? You see, experiencing the tender care and mercy of God and being near God speaks to a deeper fellowship with God. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the end of that verse tells us, casting all of our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. In other words, cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. How about peace with God? I'm talking about things that come from a deep fellowship with God. In fact, Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7 talk to us about that fellowship that deepens when we pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is through prayer that we enter into deeper fellowship with the Lord, and that we are able to experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. You see, prayer is about faith in God, and prayer is about fellowship with God. He loves us, and He desires us to cultivate that relationship with Him. He desires for us to be in communion with Him, in deep fellowship with Him. When you want to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with someone, you must, at the very least, talk to them. Right? Right? That's prayer. And the more we talk to Him, the more we get to know Him. Time spent with God is never wasted. Time spent with God is far more valuable than time spent in any other way in life. Here's what you have to know. You will never do anything greater. You will never participate in anything greater. You'll never achieve anything greater than communion with God. It's the greatest thing that any of us can ever do, and here's the wonderful thing about it. Because of His death, His bloody sacrifice on the cross, every one of us can do it. Every one of us who have trusted in Him as Savior can come before Him in prayer. How closely can a person walk with God on the earth? Wouldn't you like to know? Then why don't you find out? Why don't you find out? I do know a couple in the Scriptures. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was no more. So be careful. I think those were isolated incidents. But I'm just saying. Wouldn't you like to know how closely you can walk with Almighty God? Well, that's totally up to you. Totally up to you in terms of practicing prayer. Prayer should become something that we greatly anticipate. So oftentimes it becomes drudgery, it is difficult. Sometimes prayer is really wrestling. I understand all of those things. But wouldn't it be nice if in our lives, every day, there was a particular place and a particular time that we were anxious to get to because that's where we were going to meet with God. So that we were looking forward to it every single day. Something we should just... You know, there have been times, I can't say that I've always been this way, but there have been times when I went to bed at night looking forward to talking to God tomorrow. What a place to be. I want to get back there, right? That's where you want to be. A guy by the name of, it's not really his name, it's what they called him at the monastery. His name, they called him Brother Lawrence. Anybody ever heard of Brother Lawrence? I've mentioned him before. Wrote a book on practicing the presence of God. He said this, "It is not necessary for being with God to be always at church." Just scratch that part. It is. No, I'm just kidding. "We make an oratory of our heart wherein to retire from time to time in our hearts and converse with Him," and this is the part I wanted you to hear, "everyone is capable of such familiar conversation with God. So prayer demonstrates our faith in God. It deepens our fellowship with God, and it determines our reach for God. It determines our reach for God. There in verse chapter 33 of Jeremiah again, verse 3, our verse that gives us the definition of prayer. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In a very simple layman's term, that means he can do more than we can. Right? Calling to him because he can do a lot more, a lot better, a lot different. He does things that we cannot do, that we can't do on our own. He does things that we don't understand with our finite minds. Prayer gives us the opportunity. I want you to hear this because this is just another incredible truth about prayer. Prayer gives us the opportunity to be a part of God's work. Apparently, that's something we all take for granted too. To be a part of God's work, which, by the way, is work that touches eternity. Prayer gives us an opportunity to be a part of God's work, which is eternal in nature. You see, by praying, we are a part of things that have an eternal impact. Things that are not ordinary, but extraordinary, under normal circumstances, or maybe we should say under natural circumstances, and with all the effort we can muster, we have no eternal significance or impact apart from God. Apart from praying. And being a part of God's work. This happens only by knowing God and talking to God and by praying. There are plenty of examples in the Bible. James chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick." That's something I can't do. "And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." That's something I can't do. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much," accomplishes much. Now here's what you need to see. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. You know what that means? That means that he was a sinner who found grace in the sight of God. But he was a sinner. He was a human being, flesh and blood, just like you, just like me. He was not a superhero with superpowers. He was not superhuman because he was a character in the Old Testament. The Bible says Elijah was a man. And he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it didn't rain. Just let me say, Elijah the man couldn't do that. It rained on the land for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. One of many examples of mankind talking to God, God responding to him, and giving him a farther reach than he could have on his own. I remember pastoring my first church in McGee, Mississippi. We were part of an association of churches that was called Simpson Baptist Association. And we'd have pastor meetings there once a month. And I went one time and I had a friend of mine that was pastoring in the same association. His name's Dean Stewart. He's still pastoring today. But he came to us heavy-hearted and burdened because he had been diagnosed with cancer. And he was young and with a young family. And he came and ask us as pastors to circle around him and anoint him with oil and pray. And you know, our hearts were so moved, and we understood the need that he had, and we were moved by that need, and we just loved him, and we loved the Lord, and so we got around him, and we anointed him with oil, and we prayed over him and asked God to deliver him from that cancer. And about 2 weeks later, he called and said, "It's gone." I could not do that. I did not do that. But I was a part of it. Why? Because I prayed. Prayer allowed me to be a part of something eternal that I, in otherwise, would not have been able to be a part of. Now, does he always answer in that way? No, I'm not saying that God always responds and does exactly what we ask, but here's what I'm saying. The only way to truly be a part of God's work on this earth is by believing in, being close to him, and praying. Because prayer determines our reach for God. Prayer is limited only as God is limited. Prayer is not bound by time, and prayer is not bound by space. For instance, might something you prayed for 6 months ago happen in the next few months? Absolutely. Why? Because it's God's timing. You think he's forgotten that prayer? I don't think so. Prayer is not bound by time. God is not bound by time. Not bound by space. You know how precious that is? Let me tell you how precious that is. I can get on my knees and I can pray for my mom and daddy who are suffering in Mississippi. And he's right there with them. I can be a part of that because prayer determines our reach. And it's not limited. It is not limited by time. And it's not limited by space. A preacher friend of mine said, God moves when we pray. Oh, there's things we don't understand about it. I get that. But there are some things God does, whether we pray or not. And there are other things God will do only when we pray. Prayer really does change things. How do I know that? James chapter 4 and verse 2. James chapter 4 and verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Look at this last part. You do not have because you do not ask. What does that mean? That means if you'd asked for it, you'd got it. Not selfish desires. What is saying here is there are things that you could have if you would ask for. You don't have it because you've not asked for it. That's part of the idea that prayer changes things. And so let me say that to you again, because this is powerful. There are some things God does whether we pray or not. And there are other things God will only do when we pray in response to his children. Nothing is more wonderful to the human spirit than the experience of finding out that God hears and answers prayer. And so I want to ask you this as we close. Do you believe in God enough to pray? And does your belief in God encourage you to pray even more? Is your belief strong in God? And because of that, you depend on him. You trust him. You go to him. You try asking God. And because of your prayers, because of the way that you pray and understand prayer, are you closer to God? Is your relationship with Him deepening? Because you're talking to God and God's talking to you. And are you growing in that fellowship with God? And here's a good one for us too. Are you involved with God in eternal matters? Are you involved with God in eternal matters? Here's what I want to say to you. You can be. You can be. Now, you may not be surprised about anything you heard today, but I hope you were encouraged when it comes to the idea of prayer and implementing that practice in your life. You may say, well, I'm a young believer, haven't been a believer for very long. Some of you may be here and say, I don't even know if I am a believer. I'm just kind of a skeptic. I'm not sure about all these things. And so you're thinking about what I've said, and maybe it doesn't make much sense, and maybe it's kind of one of those things that is very difficult for you. Or maybe you're struggling in prayer as a believer. Let me just say, keep going to God. Keep going to God. Keep praying. Be faithful in praying. Doesn't have to be a long prayer. It can be a short prayer. Just talk to God. And listen to God. Talk to God. Every day, talk to God and listen to God. Talk to God and listen to God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth about prayer that we receive from the Scriptures. And that because of what you did on the cross of Calvary, by paying the ultimate price, by going in our stead, going on our behalf, we can have direct access to our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that you would, just as the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Lord, continue to teach us how to pray. Grow us in this area of our lives. And Lord, may we just draw near to you so that you will draw near to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together for a time of decision.